Jesus, committee can pray that prayer to them. Lord, be the Lord of the kingdoms in my heart. May let there be one kingdom in our heart. That's Him. His kingdom. Amen. God bless you in the house of the Lord tonight. And we love it.
Amen.
We'll go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Titled this tonight, And They Overcame. And They Overcame. Revelation chapter 12, we'll start reading verse 1, read verse 11. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Difficulties. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nation with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let's just pray. Lord, as we come to you now, we just opening this word and just pray, God, that you would share, Lord, the bread of life with your children tonight. It does not lie within a man to do this. And so, Lord, we're looking to you and asking, God, that through your Holy Spirit, you would just come and just anoint your word now, Lord, to the hearts of your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. Praise God. And they overcame. Yeah. You know, as Christians, and I know there's a lot of people in the world that identify as Christians, I'm talking about really genuinely a Christian. Christians, you know, they love the Lord, right? And because we love the Lord, we want to be pleasing to Him, yeah. Right? We want to be pleasing to Him, and so that means that we want to know Him. We want to know Him. We want to know what He has committed to us in this day. What He has in His Word for us. What He has sent our way as far as overcoming power and the things that He gives to us. Because we know He's always there and has always had something there for His people in every hour. And so I mean, believe that in this hour. There is overcoming power. God has sent something our way. And so when we love Him, that means that we want to get to know Him. We want to know what He's committed to us. We want to know what He's given in our day and what He's provided for us in our day. And so, you know, I think as Christians, we should always, probably on a daily basis, we should do this, but we should go back and assess ourselves. You know, are we really taking God at His word? Amen. We should really be checking up, as the prophet would say, check up every day or check up every hour. We should go back and really question ourselves. And the scripture tells us, you bring it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, as you'll pull that up there. The scripture says to examine yourselves, right? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. See, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. But brother, sister, you've got to be convinced. Yeah. You've got to be convinced that God is God and you are His child. Yeah. Right? And so the scripture says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I mean, question yourself and say, hey, am I really in this faith? And I really believe this word? Is this really what's motivating me in the decisions I make in life? And what I let come into my garden, as it were. And so, prove your own selves. And he says, know you not your own selves how that that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Now think about that. He's telling us, you know, that you know, God has poured out His blessing and poured out His Spirit on the just and the unjust, and He's dealing with the hearts of people. And we know that there's something called where a person can walk away from God and resist God and to the place where they are turned over to a reprobate mind. Right? When that comes to a person like that, then they don't even want God. He's not even dealing with them. See, and so if a person's in that case, well then, but other than that, don't you know that Christ is in you, except you be reprobate?
Yeah.
Right? Even sinners out in the world that are not reprobate, God is dealing with them. He's there to speak to their life, speak to their hearts, and to draw them.
Right.
And so, but the scripture tells us to go back and to examine ourselves, and we should do that. Because, you know, we are creatures of habit. And, you know, I took years ago, they sent me to a class for management there. It was back when it was West Ark, and we went for several days. And there was something that instructor said. He said, you know, and I don't remember if I've shared this or not, but he said, you know, there are things about you that only you know about yourself, that nobody else knows about you. He said, then there's things about you that you know and things that other people know, both of you know. He said, but then there's other things about you that you don't know and other people do.
Yeah.
In other words, everybody has blind spots about themselves.
Yeah.
It is inherent nature of the flesh, which we are to overcome, inherent nature of the flesh to always look and place blame and look elsewhere. And but like I was saying the other day, it's the mirror of God's word. And so the scripture is telling us, hey, a huge portion of Christian walk is turning our eyes inward and looking at ourselves to examine ourselves and to let the Holy Spirit deal with you and through His word and to identify things in your life that needs to be surrendered. Because we all, you know, as Christians, there's a certain portion of our life that we surrender. But you should ask yourself and seek the presence of the Lord. Fast, pray, whatever, however you do to gain ground in what I'm talking about. But to seek the Lord and find out these places that maybe I'm not quite surrendered like I should be. Maybe there's areas that I'm not really turned over. Like the prophet said, maybe there's some doors in my house I don't want Him to go into. And so, brother, sister, we don't want that. We know He's master of everything, and we want to give Him everything we have about our lives. And so give Him everything. And if He wants you to have something, He'll give it back to you.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I've said for years. Just give God everything. And if He wants you to have something that maybe you're not wanting to give up, if it's something that's not simple, He'll let you have those things that He approves of and that's good for you and so forth. And so I mean, we are to examine ourselves and see and make sure that we're really actually moving in the faith and growing in God. Amen. We are. We all have our own garden that we are to keep up. And you know, I've not always been very good. I don't say I'm good at it now, but there have been many times where if you came to my house and you looked at my garden, you'd see it be grown up in grass and stuff like that. But for years, several years now, I've been able to keep that at bay. And I'll tell you the secret. The secret is just every couple of days, go out there and weed it. Yeah. Just every couple of days. If you let it go, it will take over, and then you'll have to work days and days to finally, if you can get it back in check. And so that's the thing. And so what I'm saying all that is that in your Christian walk, don't let things go.
Right.
Examine yourself. Go back and look and check and do it often. Do it often, because you'll find out that it'll be a lot easier for you to defeat these things that Satan's trying to throw into your life. Just do it often. And so if you stay in the Word long enough, you stay in the environment of the Word, then the Word will displace all these misconceptions of scriptures and misconception of false religion and misconceptions about things in life. The Word, the answer, as the prophet said, there's a Bible answer.
Yeah.
Right? There's a Bible answer for anything we have. Why? Because we are created and the same God who created us. This is His Word. So there is an answer for us in the Bible. So, you know, the Bible says that we are overcomers, right? I'm going to ascribe that to us because I, as we're pressing on, as Paul would say, pressing on toward that mark, and I'm going to speak to all of us as believers because I believe you are. And so as believers, we know that God has overcoming power for us. And we read in the scriptures there in Revelation chapter 12 that it says, and they overcame him, Satan, the serpent, the dragon, called them all three, who had been kicked out of heaven, his angels kicked out with him, come to the earth extremely wrathful because he knows he's messed up, right? We understand that. But the scripture said that he come down and even woe to the inhabitants of the earth because he's mad. But the scripture said there that believers overcame him. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so, if you look at where this is happening in scriptures there in the book of Revelation. We, as I mentioned, I think it was about a week ago, I was talking about how that only in the New Testament where you find where God was calling for overcomers. Because of every church age, we read them. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. We went through all of those. You find that because, and not to, as I said, not to say that people didn't overcome in the Old Testament, but after Jesus came here and he died for our sins and he resurrected and went on high and come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, he come back into us to give us overcoming power.
Yeah.
Right? And so now that he knows he's in his church, now he can call for overcoming power because he's here to provide it.
Right?
Right? That happened after his passion 2,000 years ago. That period of time until now, that's the time where God is calling for overcoming lives because he's here to make that. And when you look here in the scriptures where we just read there, it talked about how that this woman was ready to give birth to a child. And of course, if you know the message, you know what the prophet said about that. And even the typology there, you can see what it means is that was Israel ready to bring forth Christ. Because it said that child, that was a man child, was going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. We know who that is, right? And we know that as soon as Israel birthed Jesus Christ, when he came on the scene, Satan was there to try and just destroy him through the Roman system, right? But he was caught up to God, caught up into heaven, right? So we know that scripture is talking. And so after that happened, here it's just another way of looking at the same thing. After that happened, Satan's defeated,
yeah.
Right? He was defeated because that man-child was caught up to heaven. And so now he's wrathful. He's speaking of New Testament time. And so this is when God has overcomers, right? Because he's come back to do that. And so the scripture said there that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we know from all of our Bible studies and preaching and so forth, the scripture tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Right.
And we know in the Old Testament it didn't take away sin, just kind of pushed them down the road a little bit. But when the blood of Jesus Christ came, took away our sins, right? And so it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Again, it's speaking about the life of Christ coming back into his people, because remember, it's not the blood, but it's the life that was in the blood.
Right.
Right? And so we overcome by the blood, or we overcome by the life that was in the blood that has come back to live in us and give us overcoming power, right?
Yeah.
And so we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we see that all through the seven church ages. Even to this very day right now, there is overcoming power for God's people.
Amen.
Amen? Unless they're reprobate.
Right,
then that's a different story. There's nobody in here to reprobate.
Right.
Right? Amen. We believe that.
Yeah.
Know that to be a fact.
Yeah.
And so, overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the Spirit, the life that come from that blood. But the Scripture also says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And is a conjunction, right? Isn't that what they call it? So it means both. Right? And I think that for so many Christians, that's a missing part in their walk. Believing the blood of the Lamb and maybe even having an experience with the Lord, but the Scripture is saying that you've got to have a testimony.
Yeah.
And up until tonight, I've always talked about how that your testimony will help other people. But you've got to understand also that your testimony will help you.
Right, yeah.
Everyone must have, and everyone does have, but everybody must have a testimony. You got to tell it.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard the phrase, just tell them how your fire got lit. And so, you got to tell people what the Lord has done. And so, the word of your testimony, the testimony that you speak, telling people how God dealt with you and how he brought you out of sin and how he moved in your life and healed you and whatever it is. And God's not asking you to tell something you don't know.
Yeah.
The Scripture says we do speak that which we know.
Right.
God is not asking you to delve in and try and share with people something you're not really familiar with. But when you know that God has done something in your life, even if it's just some little something, that's something you can talk about. You can talk about it with conviction, convincing talk,
amen.
Right? So God's not asking you to do something else, just your experience. And when you know that you've got a testimony how God has dealt with you, and God takes your pathway and puts it across somebody else, such as at work or wherever it is, there's your mission field. There's your place right there. And what I want to show you here is that if you want overcoming power, you have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, comes from the blood,
right.
And your testimony.
Right.
So if you have that and you come to church and you pray and all that, but you never tell nobody,
yep. You
are short-circuiting your overcoming experience.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Because it says, as I said a while ago, let's go back and ask ourselves, are we really in the faith? Are we really believing the word? And so if we say yes, then we have to look at this and say, the Bible says not only to have an experience with God, but you've got to go out and tell it. You've got to share it with somebody.
Right.
Why? Because that's God's program.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we've said so many times, you know, but like a dog, man, he just wants to bark. He wants to be a dog. Cat wants to be a cat.
Yeah.
A Christian wants to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but Satan wants to push that down where you won't be able to tell anybody. And I'm just showing you here that in the Scriptures it tells us that we overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Right? And so, a couple of things are, I've said, you know, telling it to others, and it's a blessing to others, but it's a blessing to you to tell it.
Yeah.
And so that's the word of your testimony, you're speaking it. But it's not just that, it's the word that gave you the testimony.
Right.
The word that moved in your life, now go tell about it. It's all in the self-same life. The Holy Spirit is the spirit form of the word.
Yeah.
Right? And so when this, we know the Scriptures and our church name just happens to be that God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
In the blood and in the testimony of that word.
Yeah.
Right? The word that came to you and changed you, and now you're sharing it with others. The Scripture says, freely you've received, freely give.
Yeah.
God freely gave you an experience and saved you from your sins. And you know what? You know God will meet everyone on their level. If a small child gets an experience with God, God will meet on that child's level, speak through that child, and that child can have a testimony to whatever. I've seen cases where a child said something that astounded grown-ups.
Right.
And it was obviously a move of God speaking through their mouth.
Right.
I've seen it. But so it doesn't have to be just the child, the children, but God No matter who you are, because Satan wants you to think, well, I don't really do nothing. Well, that's the short circuit. That's what I'm talking about. If you have breath in your body and you love the Lord, go tell somebody about it, and it will unleash some overcoming power in your life that you're not experiencing if you're not doing that.
Amen.
Right? So go tell people about it. Tell people about, and I'm not telling you, go tell them about how great your ministry is or how great your church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about go out there and tell them about how God has changed your life with this word.
Right?
Right? And so, sure, you want to invite people to church and that sort of thing, but I don't want you, I want to make sure you understand, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the word of God in your life and how it has changed you.
Amen.
Amen. And according to scriptures, that's part of the overcoming life. You know, the scripture tell us, when you look in the New Testament, the seven church ages, they were, when John turned and saw them, he looked and they were candles. They were lampstands, candlestick or lampstands, right? And the scripture said those seven lamps, those were the seven churches, right? Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
So churches were light bearers. And so when Jesus said, you don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel.
Right.
See, he lit the churches and says, don't hide it, tell it.
Yeah.
Right? See? And so, it also, those seven churches were seven cities. Right? Seven cities, churches. And a city that's set on a hill, Jesus said, cannot be hid. He has no intentions for his church to be hidden in a valley. He puts it on a hill so that everybody can see the testimony, so that he can be lifted up. So everyone can see, and he can draw all those that can come. He's drawing them.
Amen.
Amen? So you see, just to know that those two things there, a city set on a hill and a candle that you don't light and hide it, you put it out there where people can receive light from it. And so I'm saying the same thing here that this scripture is saying. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by sharing sharing the light, sharing the gospel.
Right.
And I'm telling you, try it. Try it. If you'll talk to someone about the Lord, just as simple as it is, and I understand that when you do that, maybe you're going to get some criticism. That's part of it. That comes with it, right?
Okay.
Criticism, suffering with him for his name's sake and all that. But I'm going to tell you, if you have a life of witnessing and testifying to others, the Holy Spirit works in your life. You'll have sweeter times with the Lord. You'll have power to overcome things as Satan comes your way. And it's right there in Scripture just to show that there. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
And so you just go out and tell them how your fire got lit. Amen. Because your testimony is good for you too. Amen.
Yeah.
Like I said, it doesn't have to be some great something or other. I loaned my truck out the other day, and it come back with a broken glass in the back. The back glass broke out. And so I had to schedule, my wife did, she scheduled a time for me to get the window replaced on Mondays of this week. And so go into this place, and there's a lady sitting there at the desk who does all the paperwork and taking the money and all that stuff. Well, the guy's out there in the shop doing all the work, And I go in there and I sit down. And now this is just how simple it is. So here, I'm going to be here for a while. Do a grand opportunity, right?
Yeah.
How do you do it? Don't know this woman, don't know her name, don't know her background, whatever. How do you do it? I'm telling you. So I just sat there and I looked in her desk and around her desk there, and I took a survey. And I could quickly determine things that meant something to her by things she had placed around her office. And within 2 minutes, we were talking about, of me walking in and sitting down, we were talking about God. Within 2 minutes. You find something that person, you don't walk in there and say, God sent a prophet, or you're going, if you don't, you don't do that. You meet them. And look for it. Look for opportunities to say something there. And so we had an excellent conversation. My wife called me and said, "Do you want me to come get you? Because it'll probably take a while." I said, "No, I'm fine. I'm doing fine." And she said something about, "Yeah, well, you can just sit down there and talk with all those old men like they do. You know, the old men sitting at the local store or whatever." She thought it might be like that. I didn't tell her. But I was having, and you know, when I got ready to leave, that lady said, "I really enjoyed this conversation with you," right? It's just that simple. Just share your testimony with those. And so, if you look here, and we've mentioned here recently that, you know, to be an overcomer, that means opposition. There is opposition, right? Opposition. There's something to overcome. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. You got to tell about it. You got to speak it. We're going to read this. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 15. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." I'm getting to where I'm going here, so just give me a little bit. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." We believe that, don't we? "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is by faith speak on this wise." Here's where we're getting to what I want you to get. "Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead." Right? Now let's just talk for a moment about what he's saying there. Right? Who? Don't sit and say, "Well, how are we going to go up here to get Christ who's ascended on high and bring him down here? Or how are we going to go down in, you know, into the deep and bring him up?" Whatever. That's not it. Here's what it says. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe with thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's more than believing in your heart. But there's confession. There's with the mouth. The mouth confession, right? "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all them that call upon him." Doesn't matter who you are. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him?" Now listen, I'm still talking about speaking it, sharing it. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Right? "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So you say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." I beg your pardon. Every one of us live the gospel, and our testimony can share. Every one of us are preachers in our own rank. That's not trying to say you're behind the pulpit necessarily, but we know that. Right? How are they going to hear if somebody don't tell them? Right. So you realize this is God's program. By the foolishness of preaching, that's how he saves man. Right? So there's opposition. But it's God's program that we share our testimonies and tell people about the glory and the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me. Somebody told you. Yeah. Right? Freely you've received. Right. Freely give. I don't say these things to heap anything on anybody, but just to tell you that if you want a greater level of overcoming power in your life, then do this other part, too. Don't just Lord, you know, I believe and you want your Holy Ghost, but go tell somebody. And you'll find out as you do that, you'll have a richer experience in the Holy Ghost because you want to please Him. You want to tell someone about it. Amen. And so, there is opposition. So we realize God does have overcomers. And we see there in the scriptures where it said they love not their lives unto the death. And of course you probably think, well, about martyrs and stuff like that, but that's not that yeah, it can be martyrs, right? But it's you love not your life in this world so in such a way that it keeps you from walking with the Lord. Let's go to this last portion of the scripture that will be finished here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 27. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Let me give you a little background here on this situation and what's fixing to happen. This is where Peter begins to rebuke him. And he has to say, get behind me, Satan. So you have to understand that they had a great ministry and Peter was part of it. And Peter didn't want that to stop. And here Jesus is now telling him, hey guys, I'm going to tell you, they're fixing to kill me. And all this, it's all this miracles and all this stuff that's going on, all this fame and stuff, it's going to end. Peter didn't want that. So Peter starts acting out according to his own desires, his own lust, Satan working through that. Oh, not so, Lord, not so. Begin to rebuke the Lord. And the Lord had to address the one who was inspiring Peter to say that. He turned to him and said, Satan, get behind me because you say it's not the things of God, right? And so you see what's happening here is talking about self-will, right? Because that's what Peter was showing. And so see how this unfolds. Peter began to take him, began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, this shall not be unto thee. But, you know, and that thought had to not be from God because the Lord wouldn't have rebuked it if it had been. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Amen? And then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, Peter, deny your desires and let the word of God come to pass. If you want to follow me, you've got to deny your will, your way, and follow me. So he says this famous saying that we've heard so many times. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. They love not their life unto the death.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean dying by as a martyr in the flesh, but dying out to your will, not loving your life unto the death. What? That you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. But you can't do that by loving the things that are of the world.
Yeah.
Amen. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Amen. So, we know there's overcomers. Amen. I'll finish by saying this. We've mentioned many times how that you get into the Spirit and how, you know, I've seen this before. I'm not a likely one. Never was a likely one left to go to a ball game and get really excited and jump up, you know, that they would turn the camera on me because I was so excited or anything. And I've seen people, you go to the ball game, they just sit there, you know. But after a while, they get into the spirit of it. The next thing you know, man, they're up and they're cheering and so forth. And, you know, so, and they're enjoying themselves. Right? They're having a good time. And so, when you get into the spirit of whatever it is, you'll enjoy it. Right? Even if it was things for the world, you'll think you're enjoying it. But if you get into the spirit, into the Holy Spirit, and move with the Holy Spirit, you will love that life. You will enjoy. And that will bring you into a life of service. And in a life of service, you will enjoy serving others. You will enjoy that, right? And it's the way of life. For all of you young people, you listen. Your parents had to give their lives to take care of you, to raise you, and to instill in you truths and to do the things. They were burning their candle for you. And because what if they hadn't done that? What if the Lord had not burned his candle for us? What if the apostles had not burned their candle for us? What if Brother Branham had not burned his candle for us? What if your ministry now? What if you understand what I'm saying? So what if you don't burn your candle for somebody else? It's a wasted time, wasted life, right? But what I'm telling you is once you get in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, you will enjoy serving the Lord. You'll love coming to church. You'll be glad that you've got a chance. You've got to display yourself as a believer into the local body and to you, the people you work with, and all those sorts of things as you express yourself to those that God has put in your pathway. And as you do that, there's overcoming power that you get that goes right along with your experience. Amen. So, you know, I've always said, you've heard me say it, there's something godly about, even if a man's a sinner, but if he'll get up every day, early in the morning, go to work and to take care of his family, there's something godly about that because it's the way of life. Somebody has to give for others, right? And it's not easy. It's not easy for the man to get up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work and you know, it's not meant to be. But if you get in the spirit of it, you know, so many people are like, I don't want to come to work. If you get into the spirit of life, then you will enjoy going to work and raising, making the money to take care of your family and so forth. And it's that way in the gospel. You'll fall in love with it. The more you do it, the more you'll love it. And the more you see the Lord working in it, the more you'll love it. The more you'll love him. Yeah. Amen. It's like a snowball effect going downhill. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so, and they overcame. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And so I pray that tonight that you receive something out of this, understanding that God wants you to share, and he'll bless you when you do. And give you overcoming power. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this little time together with your people. We're asking, Lord, you'd seal away these things into the hearts of your children. God, that they would just go with them, meditate upon them. I'm asking, Lord, that each one, that they, in their walk, as we cover these things, that they begin to discover in their life greater ways to defeat the enemy by following after your word. To take seriously, Lord, that you are a confirmer of your word. And what you promised that you would do, you do. And I pray, God, that each one finds you in that way in a greater portion. We love you, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 He knows that each one of you have a lick of fire. Right? Each one of you are a lick of fire. Each one of you make a big difference in the kingdom of heaven, and in your family, and in like your work team at work and so forth. Mm-hmm. Everybody plays a part. Mm-hmm. Amen. 312.